This is lesson HBS 133, and the title of this lesson is Gifts and Ministries in the Body, Part 3. And we're going to continue talking about the manifestations of the Spirit discussed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Let's open our Bibles then to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And today, we're going to be talking about the gift of faith, or the gift of special faith, to distinguish it from ordinary word-based faith. And so, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and read the first few verses. First verse. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, let's skip down to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. And now in verse 7, we're going to start to talk about these gifts of the Holy Ghost, also called manifestations of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. All right, now, what are they? Starting in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, that means to profit means to be better for it. In other words, you're going to be better off after this gift is manifested than you were before. All right, now, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Now, in our last lesson, we talked about the gifts of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And those are gifts that reveal something. The other gift that reveals something is the gift of discerning of spirits. Now, there are three gifts that do something. That would be the gift of faith, the gift of working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And there are three gifts that say something. And those gifts would be the gift of prophecy, the gift of diverse tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Today we're going to talk about the gift of faith. Now, originally I intended to cover more than one gift in this lesson, but as I got to preparing this lesson, I had so much material that I thought maybe I'd just better talk about the one gift today, and that would be then the gift of faith, or as it says in another version of the Word of God, the gift of special faith, to distinguish it from the gift of word-based or ordinary faith that we use every day as Christians. Let's discuss these things. Special faith, or the gift of faith, is for miracles not promised by God's written or spoken word. Now remember, we can get miracles and things from God by ordinary faith based upon God's word. And you remember Romans 10:17, if you've been in these lessons very long, is a thing we keep returning to, is that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that would be ordinary word-based faith. And this word-based faith could be based on God's written word or on God's spoken word, like through a prophet or something like that. But it is based on God's word. This is what I call word-based faith or ordinary faith, the faith that we use every day to obtain things from God and to live our lives as Christians. But once in a while, God, through these manifestations of the Spirit, manifests another type of faith called the gift of faith or the gift of special faith, which is a non-word-based faith that is given by God on special occasions to work a miracle. Okay? And so we have these two types of faith, normal or word-based faith, based upon God's written or spoken word. And then we have this special faith that God gives at certain times as the Spirit wills. This is a more rare type faith, I guess you might say, because it's something that you can't call up on yourself, by yourself at any particular time. Now, ordinary word-based faith, you can use any time you want to, because it's based upon the Word of God. And when you hear that word and read that word, it gets down in your spirit such that it becomes alive in your spirit. And when you need these promises in the Word manifested in your life, you use this word-based faith. As I say, it could be based on the written word or God's spoken word. Okay, so we have these two types of faith, word-based faith and the gift of special faith that's given as the Spirit wills, that is the subject of our lesson today. Let me just give an example here of a gift of special faith, that one would need special faith to work this miracle. And that would be, for example, raising the dead. That would be an example where special faith is required. However, healing for ourselves would not be a miracle and does not require special faith or the gift of healings, because it is a specific promise provided in our redemption that we may use our normal faith to obtain. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, in the Word of God, it says in Matthew 8:17 that Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The second witness would be in 1 Peter 2:24 that says, "By Jesus' stripes ye were healed." It's something Jesus has already done for us and is a promise of our redemption. However, we must use our faith to obtain it if we need to have this. Like, for example, if sickness symptoms come upon us as Christians, we know that Jesus in our redemption provided us healing. And we could use this word-based faith to obtain the healing we need at that time by just acting, hearing, and knowing in our spirits that by Jesus' stripes we were healed, that Himself has taken our infirmities and bore our sickness, and acting upon that faith. That is normal word-based faith that we can use anytime we please. Okay? So healing for ourselves as Christians would not come under this gift of special faith. However, there was a person God wanted to raise from the dead, and that's not a promise based in the Word, then we would need special faith to raise this person from the dead. So I just give that to show the two types of faith involved here and to show what special faith is and what it is not. Special faith would not be used by the Christian to obtain healing for themselves. That is a promise already in the Word of God that one could use normal word-based faith to obtain simply by acting on that word-based faith, those word-based promises that I just quoted. Okay, I hope that explains a little bit of the difference between the gift of faith, which is as the Spirit wills, and word-based faith, which is something that we could use at any time we need to use. Now, before we get into the gift of special faith, let me just say a little bit more about this word-based faith, based on our scripture for that being Romans 10:17, that says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That would be normal word-based faith. And we have a whole Bible here full of promises by God that we can use to obtain this faith. All right? Now, so let's talk about this kind of faith received by believing God's Word. Well, normally, we would obtain this faith through the written Word, as defined in Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But it could also be obtained through His verbal word, especially in the Old Testament when there was no written word. This type of faith, word-based faith, is produced by knowing what the Word says and acting on it. It is believing that God will honor His word in a particular area. It comes when we know what His word says about a particular thing and believe it. This is the type of faith discussed almost exclusively in our lessons. Okay, this is the one I'm talking about every day. Word-based faith. Now today we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about this gift of special faith. But I just wanted to distinguish the two. This word-based faith is available to any believer who hears and believes the word in a particular area. Thus, a believer who hears the word on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and believes it will have the faith to receive it. This faith is specific to the word heard. That is, hear the word on healing and receive faith for healing. Hear the word on salvation and receive faith for salvation, and so on. So, a lot of people think that faith comes from hearing the word, and you can just hear any word. And I get this all the time in the homeworks, and they'll have faith for something else. For example, they think just by generally reading the Bible, they're going to have, and if it's all they read about, for example, is on salvation, then they're not going to, they think they're going to have faith for healing. That's not necessarily true. You hear the word of God on salvation, you'll have faith for salvation. You hear the word on healing, you'll have faith for healing. You hear the word on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll have faith for baptism of the Holy Ghost. You hear the word on how to obtain peace in your everyday life, then you'll have faith to obtain peace in your everyday life, and so on. So it's more than just hearing the word to have faith on for a specific thing. You must hear the word for the thing you are believing for. You know, really, this is not a hard concept. You know, for example, if I always say this as an example, if we were, you and I were going to meet for lunch, and I said, let's meet at so-and-so restaurant on such-and-such a day, you couldn't just believe that Mike's birthday was going to be on that day. No, that would be too general. You'd have to believe a specific thing. You'd have to believe what I said, that on a such-and-such a day, at such-and-such a time, we were going to meet for lunch. You see the difference? It's specific to the thing promised. If I promise you I'll meet you at a certain place at a certain time, then you can have faith to arrive at that place on a certain date at a certain time, and I'll be there. But you can't have faith for anything else about me, only that one thing, because that's the specific thing I talked about. I think you can understand that. So faith is specific, word-based faith, to the thing promised. Now, before I get into this gift of special faith, I'd like to give a couple of examples of where people received miracles through verbal, word-based faith, just to show that you can receive miracles this way as well as through this gift of special faith. For example, let's turn back in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, and we're going to talk about a man by the name of Naaman who received a miracle through word-based faith. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was a mighty man in valor, but he was also a leper. Now that sets the stage of what Naaman needs. All right? And so, to make a long story short, he goes to the prophet Elisha to obtain healing for his leprosy, because he heard by a maid who worked for his wife that was an Israelite that there was this man in Israel that was a prophet that could perform the miracle for Naaman. And so it came to pass that Naaman went to Israel to meet with Elisha to obtain healing for his leprosy. Verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a message unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now Naaman was mad when he heard this message. Why? Because it says in verse 11, I thought this man, talking about Elisha, will surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of his Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper, talking about himself. And he's incensed because he's actually asking him to go to the Jordan and wash, because he says, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? may I not wash on them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Now, here's my point. Here's one of my points here. Elisha sent a message to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Now, Elisha was a prophet, and Elisha heard from God. And so when he passed this message to Naaman, it was the word of God. Naaman heard the word of God, even though it came secondhand, so to speak. It came from God to Elisha, to Elisha's servant, and from Elisha's servant to Naaman. But it doesn't matter. It's still God's word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, whether it comes directly from God's mouth to you or it comes through a prophet of God. So at first, Naaman didn't receive this word. But then he thought about it, and his servants talked to him a little bit. And they said unto him, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would you not have done it? This is verse 13. How much rather then, when he saith unto you, wash and be clean? Then, you know, it doesn't say this, but obviously Naaman thought about this a little bit. And he calmed down. Because then he went, it says here in verse 14, he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, which was God's word. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, my point here is this was a miracle that was received by Naaman through word-based faith. Even though it was a miracle, it came through the word of God. God spoke to Elisha. Elisha spoke to his servant. His servant spoke the word of God to Naaman. And Naaman acted on that word and was healed. Now notice that Naaman had to act on this word 7 different times. He had to go into the Jordan River, come out, wait a while, maybe dry off, then go back again, come out, wait a while, dry off, then go back again, come out, wait a while, go back again, come out, wait a while, go back again, come out, wait a while, go back again, come out, wait a while. And finally, the 7th time, he went in, just like the word of God said, and he came out, he was healed. In other words, Elisha gave him the word of God, and then Naaman had to act on that word exactly the way God said it. And God said to wash in the Jordan, how many times? 7 different times. That means that Naaman had to act on the word of God to receive this mighty miracle. But this is an example of word-based faith, since it came through the prophet's word. Okay? And this then is not the gift of special faith that we're going to talk about later. You're thinking, well, why are you taking so much time to talk about the faith we're not going to talk about in this lesson? Well, folks, it's to draw a distinction between these two types of faith. And I think it's only through this distinction that you're truly going to understand what this gift of special faith is, which is not based upon the Word of God. It's a faith that's given by God for things that are not promised or given by His Word. Can you understand that? Okay. Let's go on and take a look at another word-based faith that also wrought a miracle. And for this, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to eventually get to this special faith, but I want to talk about word-based faith that can work a miracle as well. But it has to be based on a word promise from the Word of God, either written Word of God or through a spoken Word of God. Now let's look at 1 Kings 17. In verse 1, and Elijah, this is talking about Elijah now, and the last time we were talking about Elisha, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord then came unto Elijah, saying, now listen to what this word of the Lord, see, Again, it was the word of the Lord came into Elijah. And he said, what did he say? He said, get thee hence, Elijah, and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now listen what he said. Here's the promise. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Okay? Now that is, would be a miracle, wouldn't it, to have ravens feed you. But this is the word of God. And so Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now, this is very interesting, because this is a miracle that's wrought by God based on faith that came from God's spoken word to Elijah. God commanded the ravens to feed him where? At the brook Cherith, only there. Now, the point here is that if Elijah had gone to a different brook and waited, do you think the ravens would have shown up with this food, with this meat? No. Would they have shown up with the bread? No. It was only when Elijah acted upon the exact word of God that he obtained what God promised. Now, this is given all through the word of God like this. Another example that comes to mind is Joshua at Jericho. God said, if you want to take Jericho, you're going to have to march around it and blow the ram's horn every time you walk around it. And I want you to walk around it every day for 7 days, blowing this ram's horn. And on the seventh day, blow it 6 times. Well, to make a long story short, this is sort of like the Naaman incident, where Naaman had to wash 7 times. Here, Joshua had to do something 13 times altogether to obtain the promise, simply because he heard God's word, acted on God's word, and God worked a miracle, and the walls of Jericho fell down. Folks, this is all through the word of God, where God speaks his word, someone hears it, someone acts on it, and then a mighty miracle is wrought. So we've talked about 3 miracles already here. Naaman, Elijah, we just now talked about Joshua, and I would like to talk about one more word-based miracle before we get to the special faith that works miracles as well. But no, so far we're talking about word-based faith. I want you to take one more example and turn to Matthew chapter 14. And we'll look at one last example of a miracle wrought by word-based faith. All right, here we are. Verse 25 of Matthew 14. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Well, there's a miracle right there. That's not the one we're going to be talking about. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now listen to this. This is boldness. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now folks, here's another miracle worked by word-based faith. Someone acting on word-based faith. Well, where's the word here? Well, there's one word here, and that is the word come. Peter wanted to walk on the water to Jesus, and he said, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. In this case, Peter asked for the word he could believe to have faith to go to Jesus on the water. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? He asked for this word. And Jesus gave it to him. Jesus said one word to him, and that was the word of God in this situation. That was the word come. Based on this word come, Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. The ingredients for this word-based faith were, first of all, to have the word come and then to act upon that word. And when Peter acted upon that word, just that naked word of God, which was come, he walked successfully on the water. Now, yes, he did have some troubles after that, because he began to look at the waves, he began to hear the wind, and he began to focus on that instead of focusing on the word of God, and he began to sink, and Jesus saved him. And he said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So there's no doubt here that the faith of Peter enabled him to walk on the water. Now, how is this faith obtained? It was obtained from hearing the word of God, which was the word, in this case, come. So here we have a fourth example of word-based faith that worked a miracle. We talked about Naaman healed of leprosy. We talked about Elijah's provision at the brook Cherith when the birds fed him. Actually, there were two miracles worked there. There was the first miracle where the birds fed him. And then later, when the brook dried up, God told him to go to a widow woman and she would sustain him. And that he went there and there was a mighty miracle worked again where the meal barrel never ceased giving forth meal and the cruse of oil never failed to give forth oil. So God worked two miracles to take care of Elisha, as well as, in the second case, a widow woman and her son as well. God worked two miracles of provision for Elisha. One, when the ravens fed him, and two, where the widow supernaturally fed him because he acted on God's word in both of those cases. The first case being when God told him to go to by the brook Cherith and dwell, and he would be fed by the ravens. And the second case, when the brook dried up, God said to go to a widow woman in Sarepta, and he would be fed there. And so he acted upon that word as well, and was fed supernaturally there as well as by the brook. So we see all these miracles based on verbal, word-based faith. Now, let's get into the gift of faith, or the gift of special faith. The gift of faith is different from word-based faith. This type of faith, that is, the gift of special faith, comes through the Spirit-filled believer without any promise or word from God. And it comes so he may receive a miracle. Now, it's different than the gift of word-based faith because this kind of faith comes for something not specifically promised in or from God's word. But God wants to work a miracle, and even though it's not a word-based promise, either verbally or written, God still wants to work this miracle. And so to work the miracle, in this case, he must give the faith, this gift of special faith, to work the miracle. Okay, so that's the difference here between word-based faith, whether it's based on the written word or verbally given word, is that it doesn't require any word from God, but it's given to work a miracle when God wants to, when there is no word for the person to act upon. If it were promised by his word, word-based faith would be sufficient, and it could be thus obtained through this, the word, the faith based upon the word. You know, one thing that's really interesting to me here is that faith is so important to God that even when there's no word-based faith, either written word or spoken word, God must give the faith to work the miracle. Folks, this to me opens my eyes to how important faith is. So for even when the word does not promise something that we can act upon and God wants it done, he will give the faith to work the miracle rather than just working the miracle himself. You see what I'm saying there? Faith is so important to God that even when there's no word, either verbally or written, for a person to act upon to receive the miracle, God in some cases will give special faith to work the miracle he wants worked. You might ask yourself, well, why doesn't God just work the miracle himself? Folks, I don't know. All I know is it shows me how important faith is for the very fact that God will even give the faith in this special way for times when he wants to work a miracle and no word-based faith is available. Now let's go on and talk about some examples of the gift of faith in the Bible, or the gift of this special faith. Now, first of all, I want you to realize this is a supernatural faith. This faith is given only when the Spirit wills. You cannot go to the Word of God, hear the Word, and act on that Word and receive the promise, because there is no written Word promise for this. You know, it's for something like raising the dead. There is no word-based promise that we can go and raise the dead anytime we act upon the Word. There is no Word that promises this. Therefore, we can't act upon the Word in this area and receive someone from the dead. But occasionally, God does want to raise someone from the dead. And when He does, He must give this special faith. So, let's look at some examples of the gift of faith. Let's turn first to Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to see a very famous passage in the Bible, or very popular, I should say. Everybody knows about this. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6, and we'll start in with verse 16. Now, let me give you a little background here. We have a situation here where people were trying to set up Daniel for, they were jealous of Daniel, and they were trying to set him up for failure. And so they convinced the king to pass a law that anyone who asked God or anybody else but the King Darius for a for anything for 30 days would be subject to death. In other words, cast into a den of lions. And so, for some reason, Darius said, okay, sounds good to me, and they signed this law. Well, of course, this was to set Daniel up, because everyone knew and were jealous of Daniel, and he was praying to his God several times a day. And so they thought if they could get this law passed, they'd have a reason to have Daniel killed. Now, after they passed the law, they kind of spied on Daniel, and they found him and saw him praying in his room to his God. And so they went and told the king, and the king really loved Daniel, and he was very sorry to hear that Daniel was the one asking someone besides himself for a petition. And so he was forced to deliver Daniel into the den of lions. Well, that's the background here. Let's start now in verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came into the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Now listen, because he believed in his God. Now, how in the world could Daniel believe in his God to the point that he could be thrown in a den of lions? And these lions, folks, weren't fed very often. They were only fed when they threw someone in there to be killed. And so these lions are very hungry, and they're used to eating people, to be very blunt about it, people who are thrown in there. And so Daniel went in there, and he wasn't eaten, and he spent the whole night in there with these lions, and nothing even touched him. Not one lion even touched him. And here in the last verse here that I just read to you, the secret to this is found in that he was not hurt because he believed in his God. See, here it gives us a reason why he wasn't hurt. And it was because he believed in his God. Now, how in the world could Daniel believe that when he was thrown in this den of hungry lions, that he wouldn't be hurt? Well, folks, this was an example of the gift of special faith being given as the Spirit wills to Daniel, to believe that his God would not allow him to be hurt. How do I know this is the gift of special faith? Well, folks, there is nothing here that indicates that there ever was any promise by God, either verbal or written, that would save Daniel in this specific circumstance. And so, folks, this is an example of the special faith that this lesson is all about. This is a gift given by God through the Holy Spirit as God wills, as the Spirit wills. In other words, it comes from God through the Holy Spirit and is given as God wills, and that means as the Spirit wills. This faith was given to Daniel so he wouldn't be hurt. There was no written promise. Daniel couldn't go to leafing through the Old Testament, if whatever there was at this time, the five books of the Pentateuch, written by Moses or something like that. There was no promise in there, folks. And there was no verbal promise from God where God came to him in the night and said, Daniel, they're going to deliver you into the lion's den. And when they do, I will deliver you. See, that would have been something that would have been word-based that he could have based his faith on. But there is no indication here that there was anything from God like this. No written word, no verbal word promising that Daniel wouldn't be hurt by these lions. But nevertheless, Daniel believed God. It says so right here in the verse we just read, that he was not hurt because he believed in his God. Where did that faith come from to believe? Folks, it came from this gift of special faith that was given at this time by God so that Daniel could just rest in there and not have any fear at all, knowing from this supernatural gift of faith that God would not allow him to be hurt. So this is our first example of the gift of faith. In this case, it was found in the Old Testament. Okay, now let's move on to the New Testament and look for some examples of the gift of faith. Let's look now for one on raising the dead. And let's go for this to John chapter 11, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Now, this is a fairly long account. I'm going to read enough of this, though, that we can get a flavor of what's going on here so we can see the gift of faith in operation. Now, starting with verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. That's kind of interesting right there, isn't it? Why didn't Jesus go right that moment? Well, let's read on. Maybe we'll find out. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep. He's talking about Lazarus being dead. And he didn't go right away, recall. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking the rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him, Now, I think it's interesting that Jesus didn't go right away when he heard that Lazarus was sick. Now, this is kind of interesting because all through the New Testament, in the Gospel, Jesus keeps telling his disciples and anyone that'll listen that it's not me that's doing these works, but my Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He says, I do what I hear my Father say, and I do what I see my Father do. What he's saying there is, Jesus isn't doing these things on his own. He's doing them through the power of the Holy Spirit that he was anointed with, at the instigation and the behest of his Father, working through the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus doesn't go right away. Why? Because his Father hasn't told him to go right away. But when Jesus does go, he goes in faith. Okay? Now, he goes there to Bethany, and let's skip down to verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. There's the gift of faith working through Jesus, where he can say definitively, thy brother shall rise again. See, there's no verbal promise here from God in the Word of God that whenever someone wants to raise someone from the dead, they can. And there's no written promise to that effect either. So to raise someone from the dead, we're going to have to wait for that gift of special faith to be given. And Jesus has it. He said, thy brother shall rise again. Jesus, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when he had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Let's skip down to verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with came after her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You notice here that Mary said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. And see, that just kind of reinforces the fact that everyone believed that Jesus could heal. Because remember, God had anointed him with this power. In Acts 10:38 it says, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. They were used to seeing people healed through Jesus' ministry. And Mary is saying, if you'd been here, he would have not have died. If you'd come before he died, well, Jesus has this gift of special faith now. So it doesn't matter that Lazarus has died, because he knows what God is going to do. And he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? But see, Jesus purposely waited. He could have come when Lazarus was still alive. And if God had been ministering through him with the power to heal, which was anointing that he had, based on Acts 10:38, he could have been healed that way. But Jesus purposely waited until after Lazarus had died, because he knew that with the gift of faith that God had given him, that God could raise him from the dead and work an even greater miracle. Here we see that the Jews even said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused this man should not have died? Yes, perhaps, but that's not what God is setting out to do here. All right, so let's go on. Jesus therefore again groaneth in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then took away they the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew, listen, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, Loose him, and let him go. And then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Now, here's a couple of thoughts here. First of all, Jesus purposely delayed coming till after Lazarus was dead. In fact, when he did come, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. This is a mighty miracle, folks. Lazarus, Jesus' friend, had been dead 4 days when Jesus got there. But Jesus, through the gift of faith that his Father had given him through the Holy Spirit, that was manifested as the Spirit wills. And it wasn't given, I don't believe, because Jesus waited and waited and waited before he came, until that gift was manifest by the Holy Spirit. And only then, at that time, as the Spirit willed, did Jesus turn and come to raise Lazarus from the dead. And when he got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And he had the faith to say, after 4 days, Lazarus, come forth in front of all those people. And then in front of all those people, Lazarus came forth. Now, folks, this is an example of the gift of faith working in Jesus' ministry, simply because there was no written promise, nor no verbal promise, that when Jesus spoke those words, Lazarus would be raised. But the gift of faith was given to Jesus to speak these words, and when Jesus spoke them, Lazarus was raised. Now, it's kind of interesting, in this particular case, there must have been 3 gifts of the Spirit working together. First, there was the gift of special faith, which Jesus exhibited when he cried, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus did come forth. There was the gift of working of miracles when Lazarus was raised up. See, the gift of faith is to receive a miracle, and then the miracle is worked. And then, finally, the gifts of healing to heal Lazarus so he wouldn't again die. Because if he's not healed of what caused him to originally die, he would have just died again. So, folks, there were 3 gifts of the Spirit worked in here. The gift of special faith, the gift of working of miracles, which raised Lazarus up, and the gift of healings, which kept Lazarus from dying again. I want to say this one more time. The gift of special faith enabled Jesus to speak the words in faith, Lazarus came forth. The gift of working of miracles caused Lazarus to rise and come out of that tomb. That was a miracle when he rose up. And finally, the gifts of healings were manifested when Lazarus stayed alive and did not die again, but then lived out a full life here on the earth because he was healed of whatever it was that caused him to die in the first place. So when you see the gifts of special faith for Jesus to speak the words, Lazarus come forth. We see the gift of working of miracles when Lazarus actually came forth. And we see the gifts of healings when Lazarus stayed alive and lived out his full life on the earth. And folks, whenever the gift of special faith is used in raising the dead, it always is accompanied by these other 2 gifts of the working of miracles and the gifts of healing as well. Now, the reason so few are raised from the dead, really, that we see happen, is not many people have all 3 of these gifts working in their lives. Now, we read in the Word of God that Jesus was given these gifts without measure. But, folks, we're given these gifts by measure. The whole body of Christ will have these gifts without measure, taken together. But as individuals, we have these gifts by measure. And we don't hear of a lot of people being raised from the dead today because there's not many people who have resonant in them at the same time three of these gifts of the Spirit working together. One might be used in the gifts of healing occasionally, as the Spirit wills. One might be used in the gift of working of miracles occasionally, as the Spirit wills. But very seldom are these three gifts in manifestation through the same person at the same time. And so that's why we see few raised from the dead today. However, there are some raised from the dead today, but it takes all three of these gifts working together for this to happen. Now let's look at a final example of the gifts of faith in the Word of God in the New Testament. And let's turn to Acts chapter 19, we'll start with verse 11. Acts 19, verse 11. And I'll read. And God brought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or apron, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's an interesting verse there in the Word of God. It's only in two verses here in the Word of God, but it tells us a lot. Let me read it one more time. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. You might say, and God wrought special miracles through special faith by the hands of Paul. Because nowhere in the Word of God does it promise us, either verbally or written, that we can lay our hands or take from our bodies handkerchiefs or aprons, and when we do, those specific handkerchiefs or aprons, when they touch the sick, will immediately heal the sick. That is a special miracle. And it would take special faith to lay your hands on a piece of cloth and have the faith that the healing anointing, healing power went into that cloth, such that when that cloth was removed from your body and taken unto the sick, they would be instantly healed, so that the diseases would depart out from them and evil spirits would go out of them. Now, why do I say this must have been the gift of special faith? I say this, folks, because nowhere is this promised in the Word. There's nowhere that we could obtain Romans 10:17 faith for this. For that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, either the spoken Word or the written Word. There is no written Word promising that cloths can be taken from our body and then laid upon the sick and they'll be healed. That would be the gift of special faith. Now, it's here in the Bible, so it could happen again somewhere if God gives that person this special faith at the time to release their faith into these handkerchiefs or aprons or clothing, it means, and then those clothing or handkerchiefs be taken to the sick such that when they're laid upon them, the sick would be instantly healed. So this must have been the gift of special faith for Paul to lay his hands upon these garments and handkerchiefs and then have them taken to the sick, because there is no promise in the Word of God that this will happen when we do this. So this is another example of the gift of special faith through special miracles being wrought by the hands of Paul. So folks, this then is several examples of this gift of special faith. And then that completes our teaching then on this particular gift of the Spirit called the gift of faith or the gift of special faith. Okay, let's now go over the homework for lesson HBS 133. First question is a true or false question. The gift of special faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. Remember, this is the gift of special faith. Normal faith comes from hearing the Word of God. That's true. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, by Romans 10:17. But this gift of special faith, the manifestation of the gift of special faith, discussed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is a special kind of faith given by the Holy Spirit when and if he wills. So this is not the kind of faith that comes from hearing the Word of God. So the answer to this question would be false. Next question. The gift of special faith is one of the three gifts that do something. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. The gift of special faith, the working of miracles, and the gift of discerning of spirits are the three gifts that do something. We have three gifts that say something, and we also have three gifts that reveal something. And we've discussed those in our lesson. Next question. The gift of special faith is a supernatural gift that only comes when, if, and as the Spirit wills. Is this true or false? That is true. This is a special gift of faith that is given at the moment by the Holy Spirit, unlike word-based faith, which comes, as we know and we've learned, by hearing the Word of God about specific promises in God's Word. Next question. All the gifts or manifestations of the Spirit are supernatural gifts or manifestations. Is that true or false? That is true. Every gift of the Spirit is supernatural. That is, it's initiated as the Spirit wills. So normal things that happen, like going to the doctor and being healed through medicine and the doctor's skill, would all be good things, but they wouldn't be manifestations of the Holy Spirit because that wouldn't be supernatural. So all the gifts or manifestations of the Spirit are supernatural gifts or manifestations. That is true. Name a group of people who can minister these gifts who are not Spirit-filled believers. What group would that be? Well, there would be no group because you must be a Spirit-filled believer to be used by the Holy Spirit to manifest these gifts through. Next question. The gift of faith is given as the Spirit wills so the believer can receive a miracle. Is this true or false? That's true. The gift of faith is given so that we can receive a miracle. And then the working of miracles would be the actual working of that miracle, just as we've talked about in the lesson. So the answer to this question is true. The gift of working of miracles is given as the Spirit wills so the believer can work a miracle. Is this true or false? Well, we haven't talked about the gift of the working of miracles yet, but it is true. The gift of working of miracles is given as the Spirit will so the believer can work a miracle. But the gift of faith receives the miracle. So you need the faith and you need the gift of working of miracles to work a miracle. And so both of these gifts would be active in the working of a miracle. First, the gift of faith would come so that you'd have the faith to receive a miracle. And then the actual working of the miracle would come under the gift of working of miracles. And remember, folks, these lessons that we're going through on the gifts of the Spirit and all of these things are a continuation of things that the body of Christ is expected to do on the earth now that Jesus has gone back to heaven. Remember, he said, "The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father." And he said, "These works will be done by they that believe on me." So believers are going to do these works, and I'm going through these works one by one so that we can understand what is expected of us and what the Holy Spirit might use us for in these latter days. Next question. There is one type of faith that comes by hearing the blank or spoken blank of God. Let's fill in the blanks. There's one type of faith that comes by hearing the written or spoken word of God. So written and word go on those two blanks. And there is another type of blank given as the Spirit wills that is given to receive a miracle, which is called the blank of faith. Here's what goes in those blanks. And there is another type of faith given as the Spirit wills that is given to receive a miracle, which is called the gift of faith. So faith and gift go on those two blanks. Next question. The gift of faith is given so one can supernaturally, against all odds, believe God for a miracle. Is that true or false? That is true. That's exactly why it's given. So that we can receive a miracle or believe God for a miracle. So we have to receive the miracle first through the gift of faith and then work the miracle by the gift of working of miracles. And these are gifts, as I said, that are manifested as the Spirit wills through the body of Christ. Next question. It takes the supernatural gift of faith to raise a person from the dead, since his spirit must return to the dead body, and no one could successfully call his spirit back unless operating with this special faith. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. It certainly does take a supernatural gift of faith to raise a person from the dead and call his spirit back, because that's something that is out of the realm of normal everyday life and is not a promise in the Word of God that we could use normal faith for. So yes, it does take the supernatural gift of faith to raise the person from the dead. So the answer to that question is true. Next question. This is because there is no promise in the Word of God with which to obtain faith to believe that God will raise a person from the dead when we will for it to occur. Well, that is true. There is no specific promise in the Word of God so that we could exercise normal word-based faith to receive a person back from the dead. So it does take this special kind of faith to raise one from the dead. So that is true. Next question. That's why we would need this special type of faith that is given as the Spirit wills. Well, I really just answered that question, but that is true. That's why we need this special type of faith, and that's why the Holy Spirit manifests this special type of faith when He wants to do something that's beyond the realm of what the Word of God promises. Next question. I can pray, and God will give me this special faith to use when I need or desire it. Well, that is false, folks. We don't pray for faith, either the special faith or normal faith. No, folks, we can't receive this kind of faith by praying. Neither can we receive the word-based faith by praying. Normal word-based faith comes from hearing the word, and so we don't get that by praying. And this special gift of faith or manifestation is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit given as the Spirit wills. So in neither of the types of faith do we pray for faith. Next question. Raising the dead, three gifts would have to be operational. They are, and then I want you to list, what the three gifts that would have to be operational to raise someone from the dead. Well, number one, you'd need the gift of faith to receive the miracle. Number two, you'd actually have to work the miracle, so the gift of working the miracles would be active. And number three, the gifts of healing would have to be manifested so that once the person was raised from the dead, they wouldn't die again. In other words, whatever caused that person to die in the first place would have to be healed for them to maintain being alive after being raised from the dead. So the three gifts would be the gift of special faith or the gift of faith, working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Next question. True or false? Healing we obtain for ourselves is not a miracle and does not require special faith or the gift of healings because it is a specific promise provided in our redemption that we may use our normal word-based faith to obtain. Well, that's a pretty long statement, but it's true. Each one of us as Christians has a right to exercise normal word-based faith, because in the Word of God it says, well, that's the next question. But anyway, there are promises in the Word of God that promise believers healing, and there are promises in the Word that give us the faith to believe God for our healing if we're believers. And the next question gives you the scriptures. Give two scriptures for your answer. Well, if you answered that question true, like it should be, the two scriptures you might put down here are 1 Peter 2:24, that says that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. That's in your redemption. By Jesus' stripes, that would be coming from your redemption when Jesus went to the cross, was beat with the whips, and took those stripes for your healing. Number two, another scripture you could give was Matthew 8:17, that says, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That's Matthew 8:17. Or you could also use Galatians 3:13, that says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we find out in Deuteronomy 28:61 that the curse of the law we were redeemed from contained every sickness and every disease. So, therefore, we are redeemed from every sickness and every disease. So you could use any of those four scriptures to answer this question. 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, Galatians 3:13, Deuteronomy 28:61. Now the last question is, I want you to write down two things you learn from this lesson. And I'm obviously not going to answer this question for you, because I want you to write down two things that you learned from this particular lesson. Well, that then completes the homework for lesson HBS 133.